Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back as we roll along here on a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Bob Pompiani and Austin City Limits here as Chris Hokie Bros 76 has just left the building, and one of our tweet followers says, ask Hokie if he's going to walk to the airport from Globe Parking to get his steps in right now.
Well, why not?
Fansville, thank you for that. He's probably going to do it. He told me he had 22,000 steps yesterday. That's hard to do. When I walk 18 holes of a golf course, I can get 15,000 to 16,000. That's a lot of walking to do. It's like 8 miles right there, but he's committed to it, and it shows. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines now at 412-928-9370. Get some of you out there who've been wanting to call and talk about whatever it may be. First hour, we had Tyler Kennedy here talking about the Penguins and this crazy contract of Kirill Kaprizov. If you didn't see it, Billy Guerin, who's their general manager, kept going and putting out bigger numbers there, and Kaprizov kept saying no, and finally, $17 million a year for the next 8 years for a guy who hasn't won anything yet. He's a very talented player. But, Austin, that's a lot of money. And what it does is it makes people like Connor McDavid sit there and say, okay, good, you got that, I'm going to wait. There are a few more other guys who are going to maybe try to cash in, and I'll see where this takes me. Because ultimately, he's going to get the biggest deal.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, do you ask for like $18, $19, $20 million if you're Connor McDavid? Because you are definitely a better player. The NHL contracts are now getting closer and closer to some of the, you know, more higher spending, revenue-generating leagues. Like, I don't think it'll ever reach the NBA,
no,
NFL level,
never.
Or baseball or something like that. But they're starting to get up there, and especially where the salary cap is for the NHL, it just makes you appreciate Sidney Crosby even more. Only saying $8.7 million, I'll take it, sign on the dotted line, that's it. I mean, Crosby could easily be getting $17, $18 million.
Absolutely, but his superstitions keep him from doing that. He's born on August 7th, 87. He's also wearing 87. The year of birth was 1987. And so his contracts are all the same. Now, you know, he's made a lot of money in ancillary things, which is to his credit. But, man, he could have asked for a lot. Anytime you see Sidney Crosby, you should give him a thank you, not just for the years he's put in here, but the good player he has been, the good person he has been, and also – you talk about people giving back to help team. How about, you know, Tom Brady got a lot of credit for, oh, he gave money back, could have made more. Is there the ultimate Sidney Crosby? That's the guy who's given more money. He could have by far been in the $15 to $17 million category 8 years ago, but he never did it. And even in this last contract he signed, it was the same. It was $8.7 million, and kudos to Sid for what he's been able to do. And the Penguins, as we have discussed, are going to play next Tuesday, the opener in New York against Mike Sullivan and the Rangers. And then they come here on Saturday after a home game against the Islanders on Thursday. But that will be interesting. First two of three games, Mike Sullivan against his former team. And Dan Muse has an interesting situation on his hand because he is sort of dealing with a hybrid roster. That's what we have come to talk about with the Penguins. That's the word I use, hybrid, because it's hybrid. Because you got all these guys who are Hall of Famers up there in age, and then you got some young guys you're trying to work into this lineup. And it's going to be fascinating to see where it goes and what it takes them. Not many people expect them to get to the playoffs. But if they get some good goaltending, and they brought in Artur Shelovs to try to help out there, because I don't know if Mirashov or Blomqvist is ready to take over right now. They will, hopefully, in time, but not right now. 412-928-9370. We open up the phone lines, and let's go right to him. We have Lou from Staten Island. Hello, Lou.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. What's up? Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's always good to hear you on afternoon time. I don't get a chance to get in the call as much with Joe, but two things, if it's okay with you. Talk a little hockey for a second, and then an analogy about Mike Tomlin, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right, so I'm a diehard Montreal Canadian fan, equally as passionate as I am with them as the Steelers. And when I started hearing the rumors about Sidney Crosby going to Montreal, I just was mortified. And let me tell you why. Finally, the Canadians are doing what the Steelers refused to do and what they refused to do for 20 years, which is rebuild and rebuild the right way. They have such a good young roster with unbelievable young defensemen in the pipeline. The last thing I want to do as a Canadiens fan is get rid of that talent for Crosby, even though he's amazing and one of the best players of all time. It ain't going to be enough for them to win the Cup this year anyway. So on the other side of it, I know everybody is in Pittsburgh right now who wants to see the Crosby. I'm doing it from the Canadian side of it. Please don't make that trade. You guys can keep Crosby or trade him to somebody else. I don't want him at this point. I want the Canes to keep staying the course.
But there is a role for someone like that on a young team. You know, you have to be in a position to understand winning, to know what comes with winning. That's why a lot of teams go out and bring in the Gordy Roberts, go out and bring in the Billy Guerins, you know, the guys who've been around for a while who can take it maybe to another level. That's why the Steelers really like their acquisition of Aaron Rodgers, not just for what he does on the field, but more importantly at times what he does off.
There's no question, Bob, and he would help the team. He would, with his talent, obviously, his leadership, the country as a whole would go crazy if he played for Montreal. There's no question about that, but it won't win them the Cup, and I want them to continue to do what they're doing. For the first time in 20 years, I am so optimistic about the Canadiens. I'm telling you, they're loaded, and if they want to take Demidov from us, that ain't happening. This guy is going to be Alex Kovalov times two and better. I mean, there's no way we're getting rid of him, and that's who the Penguins would want. But let me give you a Tomlin analogy before I hang up. And when I hear, listen, okay, I have never said on the radio, and I've been calling and criticizing Tomlin forever, okay, but I've never said he's a bad coach. If you say he's a bad coach, and you're just dumb, I mean, you don't win this many games in the NFL if you're a bad coach. So let's get that out there, okay? But what he is he's overrated, okay? And I think most people who think about it objectively will agree with that, all right? And I'm not going to go through all the stats. I've been doing this forever. But the analogy I want to bring up with him is this, right? He reminds me of, let's say, Bob, me and you, we walk into a car dealership, right? It's
number
19...
one Cochran. Yes.
Okay. It's 19... it's 1985, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's a guy there still wearing the same clothes from, let's say, the late 70s, and he's been selling cars forever, and he's got the gift of gab, and he could talk himself out of a paper bag. Half of the people in that dealership will listen to that man, believe him, follow him, and go buy that car. That's half the Steeler fan base. And then the other half of the people in that dealership see right through all of the you know what, okay, and all of the rest of it, and you dive deep into what he's saying, and you go look at the car, and you see everything that he's trying to tell you is not exactly what is in that car. And that's the other 50% of the fan base who I'm a part of would see right through this guy. He could talk an amazing game. He's a great motivator. The players never quit on him. I'll give him that. But when it comes to the X's and O's and the detailing of coaching, he's been doing the same thing to us for years. So it's never going to change. He's bad at timeouts. He's bad at clock management. He's bad at in-game adjustments. All the things that we, if you really look at it objectively, are true. So is he a Hall of Fame coach? No. Is he going to get into the Hall of Fame? Probably.
Oh, that's a
but
yes.
But you just go, okay, but let's, hey, Bob, let's be honest, Bob. You've been around longer than me. When people compare him to Chuck Knoll, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it's an embarrassment.
Yeah, I don't think anyone should be compared to Chuck Knoll just because of what Chuck did and the time he did it and how many championships, you know, they're 4-0 in those big games. They went right through everybody mm-hmm. to do it. And they had a lot of great players, for sure. It's a mix of everything. I think what you said is right about Mike. He is one of the best motivators in terms of, and I say this in a recruitment point of view. He goes out, players want to come here and play for him, no matter what the case may be. Now, when you get here, are there some who have demanded to be out? And you know, did so in kind of weird ways. Yes, that's happened too. But I think that's par for the course when you're dealing with running any sort of sports team. You're going to have guys who relate to you, guys who don't. But, you know, the thing about him is they always are competitive to the point where they're in it until the very last game. Now, some people out there will say, well, you know, that so what? I think it's a big thing in that if you're a fan of the game and you want to see your team compete in meaningful games, you have that. We complain about the Pirates here all the time. And I guarantee you, Lou, if the Pirates would do this for 2 years in a row, people would have a whole different thought process about the Pirates. That's how low the bar has gotten. The bar here is higher than that. And he sets that bar by saying, you know, the standard is the standard, and our championship, that's our goal. Well, from that point of view, the results have simply not been there. And it's not been there in a crazy way, and the fact they've been outscored so much in first quarter, all of that you know. So that's also part of his legacy as a coach, and he has to try to change that around. Now, quarterbacks have held them back, but he's contributed to that as well with the selection of Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, all true, Bob, and that's I agree with that. But, okay, the flip side of some of that is this. When you're losing with superior talent, like we did against Denver in the playoffs with Tebow and Bortles.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Bortles more specifically.
100%. That team should have won that game, and that was an embarrassment. So at that time when I was calling the radio station, I said to everybody, well, when you're losing with, you know, superior talent, how are you expecting the coach to win when Ben leaves at that time? I remember saying it with inferior talent, and you're not, because he's not a great coach. He's a good coach who needs the talent around him, which let's talk about Chuck for a second, Bob. When he came aboard, the Steelers' cupboard was as barren as barren could be. They had nothing. I understand they got all those guys in the draft, but Tomlin walked into a situation that was what? Very good?
Well,
great?
Your point is illustrated there with the Ben Roethlisberger for all the years that he was there. When you have an elite quarterback like that and some of the talent they had, the expectation was much higher. And from that point of view, they did not deliver. So I get what you're saying, and I appreciate the time, but I got to move on. But always thanks for your opinions. I appreciate that from Sam.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Lou. All right, who's next here, Austin, as we roll along here in the noon hour?
All right, let's go to Bill in Aliquippa.
Hello, Bill in Aliquippa. What's going on?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, a couple of things. First of all, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's done yet as a football player because he could play another year or two. And does the Steelers have a quarterback coach?
Yes. Tom Arth is his name.
Well, I think Aaron could be one hell of a quarterback coach, especially if they're going to draft a quarterback next year.
Well, thanks, Bill, for the call. I think that's an interesting thing. And Limits, if Aaron Rodgers has a decent year, and he's on his way to having a decent year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And he mentions to them unequivocally that he wants to come back and play another year if they'll have him. Would you entertain that? And would it change your draft plans in this coming draft here in Pittsburgh?
If he continues to play like this against Buffalo, Detroit, you know, maybe a little bit more yardage, but how he's taking care of the football and commanding the offense and putting the offense in great positions to succeed, especially in the red zone, then yes, I would be very interested in bringing him back. It would not change my draft strategy whatsoever.
I agree. I still think they have to figure out and you know, don't let any stone unturned in finding the guy who's going to be next year. You have to have somebody, and it may be Will Howard for all we know. I think Tom Arth, speaking of him, he's very optimistic about Will Howard and what he's capable of doing. He's shown it in big games. I think he has the necessary tools to be successful in this league. The question is just getting an opportunity. But I would not shy away. If I was in a position, and it doesn't matter where it is in the first round, there are quarterbacks that are going to be available, I think, in the top 25. Maybe not. Maybe this whole crop of college quarterbacks is not going to deliver what we think they're going to deliver. Some of them may return back to school. I think Arch Manning is a guy who may very well go back to Texas and say, I'm not ready for this. Plus, then the question is how much money do they shell out to keep him there if he doesn't have a good year? And it started badly. It's gotten a little bit better, but the competition will get better as they go along, and we'll know about him. But there could be other quarterbacks who are going to rise up and be in position to do it. All I know is my draft plan would still be the same. The quarterback is the most important position out there. And even if they decide, if Aaron Rodgers wants to come back for one more year, and they decide yes on that, I would do what I can to draft the next quarterback in that first round. And they have some, you know, maneuverability with the assets they have, although they're going to lose some of that potential because of injuries to free agents they've lost. All right, next.
Yeah, are we talking about even like Russell Wilson's draft pick compensation going down, or Justin Fields?
It used to be when you thought that those guys were going to, you know, command something in return, the injury and not playing affects that.
Yeah. Yeah, it
does. So that supplemental stuff is different.
You're looking more at like a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to. But if you have a, you know, extra picks you can package up somehow with a player or whatever to move up strategically to get somebody you really like, that's never going to change for me. If you're in need of a quarterback, you got to still do it.
Yeah, and if there's a quarterback that like you really like in the draft that is five or six picks away from you, or you have to make a monumental move, you cannot be afraid to trade away next year's first. Kind of like you did with the Minka Fitzpatrick trade, or when they traded up for Devin Bush 10 spots and they gave away a second-round pick for, I don't know if it was that year, or I think it might have been the year after. You have to be comfortable doing that. And for a quarterback, there should be no excuse not to. Here is Shriver and Cranberry, Bob.
Shriver, what's up?
It's Shriver, yeah. Thanks for taking the call, Bob.
Uh-huh.
So I had a kind of a strange suggestion. I don't know what you would toss it around, so you could think, but I told this to Dick LeBeau a few years ago when I was at the Steelers headquarters. This was back when he was obviously working for them. But why not employ like a 7-foot-tall defender that could just block field goals and extra points? That's his entire job, is you just block a field goal, an extra point, and he can jump and he can get up, you know, 12 to 16 inches higher than anyone else on the other team. And he's worth 3 points or 4 points or whatever a game. If he can block one a game or one every couple games, that could be a difference between, you know, one win or four wins for a team in a year.
Shriver, you're making it sound like it's a lot easier than it really is. And also, there are guys on that team. I mean, that's what they do. They're special teams gurus. You know, they're there to do that. That's why guys like Miles Killebrew has a job and it does it very well. He's blocked
a few. Yeah, I guess
I just don't.
I had a simple,
roster baseball, spots are hard to fill, too. You can't just have one spot.
Yeah.
Unless you want to bring in, let's say, Dikembe Mutombo-type people who are 7-foot whatever.
I can see it now, Bob. Taco Fall, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Taco Fall.
Your job is to stand there and block kicks.
Well, how tall is he?
7'6".
How about the guy from the San Antonio Spurs?
Wembanyama.
Could
you imagine Wembanyama coming off the edge to block
a field
goal?
He would be obliterated. He's too skinny, and they would just go – they go low on him, which is actually high for most.
Yeah, I guess the same thing is with baseball, too. Instead of the first baseman on the actual base, why can't he stand out where the runner's at and then just throw to the runner to tag the base runner? Instead of defending the base, why can't he just stand in his normal position and then tag the guy out?
I don't know what the point of that is and how it ties to special teams here. I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this, Shriver.
I'm just trying to change like how you defend the base, how you defend the.
Well, I think the idea of holding a guy at first is so he doesn't get a good lead, and you know, in this day and age, you have guys who steal bases pretty regularly, and the success rate of catchers throwing out runners is not very good. So if you stay there, and he has to be aware there's a throw coming over. If you're off the base, you know that could lead to a lot of problems with a throw over there. Plus, you know that they're not going to hold you as close. So I guess that's why they do it. But Shriver, thanks. I think if you watch the game, you'll see guys who can jump. Most of these guys have vertical leaps, which are impressive. And they're in there to try to do what they got to do. But you have to watch. You can't leverage it. You can't put your hand on somebody. And who was it that lost a game this year because of that? There was a field goal try that was missed, and the leverage call was made, and they got a redo. And Denver lost because of that.
Yeah, it was Denver.
Yeah, so even though I think that's kind of a stupid rule, I get it, but that it was the wrong call for that play. I don't think he leveraged anything.
Can we talk about this for a second, Bob? They're showing it on the McAfee show. Did you see this with Shedeur Sanders and him answering questions yesterday at the press conference in the locker room, if you even want to call it that?
Is it similar to Marshawn Lynch saying, I'm only here because I have to talk?
No. Shedeur Sanders spoke but didn't speak. He mouthed words to the reporters when questions were asked, but yet no sound actually came out of his mouth. Like, there were no words that he actually said. He was basically voicing it, but not saying anything.
And what led to this? Is there a reason, a cause and effect?
Well, people were asking because Dylan Gabriel was asked the new starter with the Browns, and Shedeur Sanders did not get a promotion. Like, what he felt about that, how he felt, and he basically
just
mouthed words.
Which is why he's still a third-string emergency quarterback. You know, you could talk about talent all you want, but that kind of stuff, you know, I didn't see it, so I can't comment really based on what you said, though. It sounds like he's, you know, just being...
People called it pantomiming. Like, is this he was acting like a mime with his words?
I didn't see that at all. I don't know.
No.
I missed that. So I got
to show
it.
You. I thought my audio was broken on my phone when I saw it, when I saw the clip, because Shedeur Sanders, it looks like he's talking, but he didn't say anything.
But again, there had to be a reason why he would do it that way. I mean, he's just upset that Dylan Gabriel got the job. Is that it? And then he's, I don't know. You know, some of these guys, you know, you look for maturity levels to increase as you get older. I don't know if it's the case now with Shedeur based on some of the stuff that's gone on. And that's a big component of why they draft you as a quarterback. You better be mature enough to – and what's wrong with answering questions? Just answer the question. It's not that difficult to do.
Right.
It's just answer the question. And be a good teammate, whatever that implies. You know, be a good teammate to your – if Dylan Gabriel gets the job and you feel like it should be yours, all right, you don't have to go out and do this kind of stuff. What you say is, look, I'll just try harder. Good for him. He's my teammate. I want to see him succeed, but I also know that if I get a chance, I can too.
And Baltimore wanted to draft him. Who was the other team? The Eagles, I think it was, that wanted to draft him. Be the backup quarterback, learn, sit behind veteran starters that have won, I don't know, two MVPs for Lamar and a Super Bowl for Jalen Hurts. He's like, no, I'll bypass a good organization and go to the Cleveland Browns. Shedeur Sanders has done this for all to himself.
He has. Very much self-inflicted, and that's the kind of stuff that makes it worse when it gets out there. I have to take a look at it in the break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shedeur fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.